I guess when we compare weightlifting and powerlifting in terms of the injury anatomical localization, we found that the knee was the most common injury site in weightlifting, whereas in powerlifting, the low back was the most common site of injury. Of course, there is overlap. So when you combine weightlifting and powerlifting, found there's knee, low back, anything in the lumbopelvic region, and shoulders as well.
Hi, Matt. It's my pleasure to have you on Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself.
Thank you. Firstly, thank you so much for having me. So my name is Matthew Tung. I was the primary author of this most recent systematic review. I've been practicing weightlifting myself for about 8 to 9 years now. Last year, I represented Hong Kong at the Asian Weightlifting Championships in Uzbekistan, and I'm currently a student physical therapist for the University of Southern California.
Awesome. And we'll be talking about your systematic review on weightlifting and powerlifting injuries. So, what was the aim of this study?
So the first aim of the study was to update the current literature revolving Olympic weightlifting and powerlifting. So back in 2017, there was an initial systematic review that was published. So the aim of this study here was just to kind of build upon that and update with whatever new research has come out. So more specifically, the review of the literature was to kind of look at the incidence, prevalence, injury localization, and risk factors surrounding injuries within those two sports.
Okay, now, how did you go about the systematic review?
So in terms of how we went about it, initially, we went through several different sports medicine databases. So like Medline, Sport Discuss, PubMed, et cetera. We compiled a whole list of any articles that were published after January 2015, which is when they concluded the first search in the previous systematic review. So we initially had about 1,700, 1,800 articles, which was a lot to sort through. But then after me and one other author went through them, we ended up including just 8 of those from the 1700s, 1800s. And then when we combined it with the previous systematic review, in total, there were about, I think, 17 or 16 included reviews for the past 10, not 9 to 10 years.
All right, I think we're ready for the results. What have you found?
So in terms of the results, so when you compare weightlifting and powerlifting in terms of prevalence and incidence, we found that the injury rate in weightlifting and powerlifting are relatively low in both sports, but of course, because of all the different study designs, study definitions, we can kind of, yes, work around, what we defined as relatively low. So for example, if you compare weightlifting and powerlifting to other similar sports, so other non-contact sports that require strength and power, so like artistic gymnastics, diving, track and field, the injury rates line up, they're still relatively low. But then when you compare them to other contact sports requiring strength and power, so like taekwondo, sports like that, and then nature, American football, they are significantly lower on the powerlifting and weightlifting side. Now, if we want to get specific into numbers, so weightlifting, we found that the period prevalence during competitions range anywhere from 10.7% to 68%, of course, depending on the competition and definition of injury. In terms of incidence, we found that there was 2.4 to 3.3 injuries for every 1,000 training hours. Now, if you compare that to, like American football or rugby, those sports can get up to 6 to 9 injuries for every 1,000 training hours. So it is relatively low. Now, when we go to powerlifting, we found that the range for the incidence was much wider. So weightlifting was 2.4 to 3.3 for every 1,000 hours, but in powerlifting, it was 1.0 to 4.4 injuries for every 1,000 hours. And the point prevalence for powerlifting was 70%. But unfortunately, the one difference between weightlifting and powerlifting in terms of the studies that we found were there were a lot more, I guess, studies involving competition results for weightlifting, much less for powerlifting. Powerlifting, there were more questionnaire type studies, asking lifters, how long they train, what injuries they had. So that was one difference between the sports. But if you compare both of them overall, the injury rates are relatively low.
So we know how many injuries, not so many. Now, in terms of what types of injuries or what was the location and how the injuries happen, do you know anything new about that?
Yes. So I guess when we compare weightlifting and powerlifting in terms of the injury anatomical localization, we found that the knee was the most common injury site in weightlifting, whereas in powerlifting, the low back was the most common site of injury. Of course, there is overlap. So when you combine weightlifting and powerlifting, we found there's knee, low back, anything in the lumbopelvic region and shoulders as well. In terms of the type of injuries in both sports were often gradual, but could be acute. So muscle strains and pulls were definitely the most dominant. But when we, I guess, compare the injury sites, one thing we found that was kind of interesting was that powerlifting actually had a significantly higher proportion of elbow upper arm injuries relative to weightlifting. So yeah, we had a couple hypothesis surrounding that. So we looked at some of the literature when we were doing our discussion, and we found that like one potential hypothesis is that in terms of, I guess, relation of weight lifted to your body weight, the bench press, elite powerlifting lifters will often be bench pressing significantly more relative to their body weight relative to a weightlifter who would do a snatch. So, you know, when you put those weights in like those extreme end range motions, like in a bench press, that would probably lead to more elbow upper arm injuries.
Is it because the bench is isolating upper body and then and snatch is kind of above your body, so the whole body is supporting the weight versus in bench, the upper body and a bit of thoracic? And is that the difference?
Yeah, that could definitely be attributed to part of it as well. You know, another part of it could be the type of lifting. So, you know, when you do a bench press, it's often much slower relative to a snatch. You're constantly under that load when you're, you know, in the eccentric phase and then concentrically pushing up. Whereas in the snatch, you know, the upper body is kind of just there to catch the bar, essentially. You're not doing any type of like pushing moment besides just holding it over your head. So the actual, I guess, like biomechanics of the lift would ultimately affect the injuries as well.
You know, that's only weightlifter could said this sentence, that the snatch, you're just there to catch it. There's no problem.
Yeah, it is a very weightlifter thing to say.
That's so funny. Okay, location, severity, and time lost. So how impactful these injuries are both for weightlifters and for powerlifters?
So in terms of severity and time lost, there was not as much information for weightlifting. You know, there was a little bit, but like I said before, most of the studies published about weightlifting were kind of like retrospective on competition. So like Olympic Games, Asian Games, it's hard to kind of quantify time lost when you acute injury that happens during those games. So like, you know, you're going for a third attempt snatch or a third attempt clean and jerk, and you know, maybe you unfortunately like dislocate an elbow or you pull a muscle. There's no follow-up after that. They're not going to follow them back to their training base, follow them back to the country in a 2 weeks, a month from now, and be like, hey, like are you still training, you know, how's this going on? Whereas done during these events, most of the information they would get were from questionnaires. So in terms of time loss and severity, it's a lot more accurate when you look at the powerlifting sides in terms of weightlifting sides. In terms of the specific numbers, from what I remember, powerlifting, the time loss was relatively low, I think anywhere between like 2 weeks to a month, which is what they would consider an impactful injury. So like anything under 2 weeks, they would not quantify it as like a noteworthy injury for their study.
All right. The pressing question, what about pelvic floor?
Yeah. So this was one of the biggest revelations we found when comparing the last systematic review to this systematic review. So this was a major update to the literature. And, you know, for anybody that doesn't know what a pelvic floor dysfunction, I guess you could just define it as any type of impairment to the pelvic floor muscles or connective tissues around that area. And this can lead to urinary incontinence, anal incontinence, or pelvic organ prolapse, which is kind of just like the downward descent of your pelvic organs through either the vagina or the rectum, which could, you know, eventually lead to some type of functional impairment in terms of lifting. So in terms of the literature, what we found was there was very little research done in relation to sports, as they're not typically considered a musculoskeletal injury. Now, one study we found that did identify, or that did look at this for powerlifting and weightlifting, was that many lifters is often reported a negative impact. And, you know, some of them could even lead to stoppage of the sport itself. And if you consider the definition of an injury as something that would prevent you from training for a certain period of time, then pelvic floor dysfunctions would be considered an injury or an impactful injury.
Right.
So, yes, for both sports, we found that urinary gaps, which is a little more rare, but all of these were highly prevalent in both sports. But more specifically, we found that female lifters, both in powerlifting and weightlifting, had a significantly higher rate of urinary incontinence relative to their male counterparts. So this would reach upwards of 50%, whereas for males, this would be under 10%. You know, and part of it, you know, obviously this would be from questionnaires as well. So the authors did note that there is a little bit of, stigma surrounding pelvic floor dysfunctions, especially in sports and especially for males. So there might be some underreporting from the men's side just because, you know, men can be embarrassed to talk about these things, whereas women might be a little bit more open. And, you know, these can happen for a lot of reasons.
Did you have any data on anal incontinence?
Yes, I did. I would have to go back and look specifically, though. But in terms of, I don't remember anything specifically for anal incontinence, just that the urinary incontinence was the more, I guess, prevalent one relative to the other types of incontinence.
Why weightlifting and powerlifting are so different?
Yes. So I think the main reason, if you just want to give like one sentence for the difference is that injuries are mainly influenced by the biomechanical demands of that specific sport, at least at the elite competitive level. So like, for example, these can include things like excessive loads and extreme joint positions. So for example, like a snatch and elbow hyperextension or high forces. The high forces required in weightlifting due to rapid movements, high forces in powerlifting from extreme loads, training in either a fatigued or under-recovered state. Similarly, not having enough recovery before training and, prolonged stress on joints and tissues over time, whether that's over one training session or an entire training period. Now, like I said before, injuries at the elite level often reflect biomechanical loads of the sport involved. So in terms of weightlifting, we see these lifts done at high velocities, you need rapid force generation in combination with, high technical demands with these extreme range of motions. So this results in significant loads on joints. So like the knees, shoulders, low back from the dynamic nature of the snatch and clean jerk. There's just so much going on in the lift with such little room for error that any, lapse in concentration or, you're fatigued, anything like that could result in some type of injury. Whereas in powerlifting, we see lifts done at much slower speeds. So even though the speeds are slower, the loads relative to your body weight will be much more significant. So whereas in powerlifting, we see they emphasize raw strength over speed. And this, affects the biomechanical load on specific regions. So in powerlifting, we saw that the low back was the most injured area of the body. And this could be honestly attributed to the specific technique they do in powerlifting. So for example, in the squat, they'll often squat low bar, which just places more torque on the low back in general. So there's another risk factor there in terms of, they're deadlifting significantly higher loads, like 3 to 4 times their body weight relative to like weightlifting and clean and jerk. 3 times body weight clean and jerk, you're, one of the greatest of all time. Whereas in powerlifting, a 3-time body weight deadlift, you're just another guy. So it definitely depends on the type of lift and the technique as well.
Awesome. And the cheeky question. So these are elite athletes. They are well prepared. This is their job. They are professional athletes. Why the injuries happen then?
Is when you're a professional athlete at the elite level, this is your life. You're fighting for a medal. You're not just fighting for yourself. You're fighting for your country, fighting for your family. You're fighting for any type of, stipend or reward you may get. And often other lifters from other countries have that same thing. So when you put all of that together, you have, lifters challenging each other, trying to beat each other by 1 kilogram at the peak of human performance. They don't really care about getting injured. Well, I shouldn't say they don't care about getting injured, but it's not their highest priority. They'd much rather get the medal. They'd much rather get the win. And, when you're training for your whole life, essentially, like when you do a training cycle, prepare for the Olympics or powerlifting worlds, you're not holding yourself back, at least at the elite level. So, you know, lifters will often put themselves on the line to sacrifice for that chance of getting that gold medal, which in terms of, yeah, the elite level, that's probably the most common reason why athletes, you know, they're probably under-recovered. When you travel to these big competitions, you know, you're in a new environment. The setting is different. You know, you might not have enough sleep, might be jet lagged, you know, might be more humid, the climate is different. All these factors attribute to person, but all these reasons could be attributed to why certain athletes get injured.
Well said. Thank you.
Two take-home messages I think that may be important to other weightlifters, powerlifters, or coaches that my research team and I kind of done was, you know, one of them would be to strategy. So elite lifters, you know, they are, when you're at the top level, you're very particular about the way you train. And, you know, every lifter has their own unique biomechanical profile. You know, some may have longer levers, some may be used to different types of training, some may have different injury histories, different lifting techniques. So I think it's important you have a personalized rehab strategy or prehab strategy for that lifter themselves. You know, you can't just, I guess, copy and paste for each lifter, especially when it comes to injury prevention, because everybody's different, and especially in terms of the biomechanical demands of their sport. Another important take-home message would be to incorporate pelvic floor health into their training. So given the high prevalence of pelvic floor dysfunctions in elite lifters, especially females, you know, some type of targeted intervention like pelvic floor training or mentor training should, and I guess another thing should just be talking about it more and trying to get rid of the stigma surrounding pelvic floor dysfunction so that more eyes can get on and, you know, more preventative strategies can be developed.
Sounds good. Thank you. Okay, two short questions to finish. The first one is, what is your favorite lift?
Well, my favorite lift is 100% the snatch. No doubt about it. I think the snatch is the greatest lift on earth.
All right. That explains a lot with your explanation of what the snatch is. Okay. And where people can find you if they want to see what you're up to, stay in touch, or ask a question, where can they find you online?
I think the easiest way is probably through my my weightlifting Instagram. So it's Matt Tung Lifts, MATTUNG_lifts. I usually post what I'm up to in training, what I'm up to in PT school, also any other type of, you know, research I might be doing. So I think that's probably the best place people can find me.
Awesome, Matt. Thank you so much for today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.